Welcome to the Anderson Business Advisors Podcast, the nationally recognized preferred provider for asset protection and tax planning in the nation. This show is for investors and business owners looking to save on taxes and build long-term wealth with Toby Mathis, an attorney, author, business owner, and a featured instructor at Anderson's Tax and Asset Protection event held throughout the country. Enjoy the show.
Hey guys, this is Toby Mathis with the Anderson Business Advisors Podcast. Today we have a really serious topic on. I have a good friend, Lars Jacobson. Hey Lars.
How you doing, Toby?
I'm doing fantastic. And Lars is, everybody else has been doing great, right? But Lars is one of those businesses where he's absolutely had the snot kicked out of him. I've known Lars and his family for better part of 20 years. And I can tell you that this is a story that needs to be heard. Point is that you have a restaurant, a gas station, and you actually receive mail for Canadians because it's literally closer for them to pick up their packages from your store than it is to go, you know, what's the closest town in Canada where they could go?
Well, it's not just the fact that it's a town in Canada. It's that they don't want to ship it from the United States to Canada. It's so expensive to get it across the border. It takes like an extra 2 or 3 weeks, you know, and the ease of these good folks that live in Creston, BC, Canada, you just drive 5-6 miles down across the border. We're right on the border and pick up their packages. You know, in June of 2019, we purchased this. We moved to Idaho. Some people might, you know me, and just they might be curious. Just a little background, if maybe I should share.
Yeah, go ahead.
Real brief is, you know, I lived in Southern California, born and raised my whole life, and shared the things that I learned and traveled and taught entrepreneurial things. And, you know, you and I have known each other since 98 or 99 or something, you know, way, way back. And God said, take your family and go to Idaho. So my wife and I took our 10 kids and moved to Idaho. Now,
10 kids to Idaho, and you opened up, you basically bought a town, right?
Well, that wasn't the initial plan, but, you know, all the older kids came with us. I mean, you know, they have their own lives and stuff, you know, like the five that are in the 20s and 30s, but we all came, you know, my one granddaughter, everybody. My thought was, I'm just going to retire and buy a farm and just do a little gentleman farming type of thing and be semi-retired and do some cool entrepreneurial things like I've done my whole life. And we got here, and after a year or so, God said, buy this town. Wait, what? No, that's not, I don't want to, I want to retire. But, you know, my family, we're spiritual individuals. We took the time to really contemplate it, pray about it. It was a whole family adventure. And in June of 2019, we bought what was billed out as the little town of Port Hill. So there's a, used to be an incorporated area. It's now unincorporated. It's right at the border, tip top of the panhandle of Idaho. And the previous owner said over time had bought up everything. So there was a convenience store. They added a gas station. Across the street was this package, you know, depot center and another gas station. Back on our side of the street, down a little ways, there's a restaurant. We've got rentals up there, hostel, a home. We've got about 900, 1,000 feet of riverfront property around the Kootenai River. Flows north into Canada. It's a very unique and wonderful place. I was told it's the second lowest elevation in the whole state of Idaho. We don't get the snow like southern Idaho or Utah or Montana get. We're just in this little valley that is amazing. We get snow. It got cold. But Texas got it worse than we did this year. I mean, you know. Of course, they got it worse than probably a lot of places, but
absolutely,
it's just a beautiful place and a very successful business. The previous owners have done an awesome job over their 15, 20 years of developing relationships with the Canadians and service. And man, we just came in there and I kept one of the previous owners. It was a mother and a father and then their son and his wife. And we kept the son with us and his family on property. They were living on property for a year, you know, just for the transition, because they bought it and added each part. We're buying the whole thing, you know, and it was just going great. I mean, fantastic, Toby. I just was like, really, wow, this is awesome. God, you're it's good. And God's always good. But when Corona hit and then they closed the border, now God's saying, okay, I'm going to give you a challenge. And it's...
How much business? How much of your business got cut off?
Close to 95% of our business was gone just literally overnight. When that border closed, it was it. And the funny thing is, you know, at the time, the Canadians were calling us, hey, we're still going to send packages to you. And, you know, because this won't be but a month or so. And, you know, they originally said it would last a month till April 21st. And here we are coming up on a year. And we've got 2,000 packages sitting in there because some trickle in because people are hopeful. They keep calling us. Every day they call us and they go, hey, when's the border going to open? I don't got a clue. I wish I could give the answer. It's not.
So they could literally see your structure, your building.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But they can't walk over there and get it.
There's some folks that their house, I can see their house. You know, the town of Creston's about 5-6 miles from the border.
Why don't you just get a slingshot?
I know, right.
Across, right?
And that would be great if we could literally get the packages to them. But we have been told by United States Postal Service not to try to send anything because we don't know what's in the package. You know, we don't know what the duty that would need to be charged and, you know, these things.
For all the people out there who think they have a solution, like, hey, you know, put it all in a truck and take it over there. You can't because you don't know what's in the package. You can't do your duty. You can't do the customs claim.
There's all the documents. Right. And they just said, you know, don't. And it's not just the package. The package is a great service. I'll give you an example. The school district up there sends their books to us. The library up there sends their books to us. All business. We got engines and tires and you name it. I mean, pieces of airplanes shipped to us. And then they come down, pick it up and take it back because they can ship in the U.S. like Amazon, you know, 2-day shipping, Prime for free and all that stuff, not into Canada, but they can ship it to us and come down the next day and pick it up. And we charge them like the average is like $3. But it's when they come down, they fill up fuel for us. Like right now, I believe we're charging 65 cents a liter. And in Canada, I last heard in Creston, it was like $1.19 a liter. So even with the conversion rate, they're saving about $1 a gallon when you convert it and then convert it back to US so we can understand it. It's just amazing. They stop into the store. We would make a run down 2 hours to Costco. That's the closest Costco from Port Hill, is in Coeur d'Alene. And we would load up on cheese and everything that they want. You know, we would get their six packs, we'd get whatever, and they would come into the store and load up on all the stuff that's to them tastes better, is a lot less expensive. And it's so convenient for them because we're just 10 minutes down the road.
So you're built, because the other thing they're going to say is, well, what about the Americans? Why aren't they coming up there? You're closer to the Canadians. Like, this is literally a situation where if I was taking a snapshot, you're just the edge of town. And then there's another town long ways away that's in the United States. But like, they would be driving half an hour to go just to use your gas station.
Yeah. The closest town to us that has a couple of supermarkets and, you know, gas stations and fast food and all that's about a half hour.
So you lost 95% of your business because the government decided to shut down. And I don't begrudge decisions. It's just, here's a ramification. Yeah. So out comes stimulus, the EIDL loans, the PPPs, all these things. They dump money into states and they say, hey, make sure it gets to the people that need it. Did you get any of the money that you needed?
We did get some money. We got a little bit of grants and some loans, mostly loans, which adds to the liability side of my balance sheet. You know, it's got to be paid back, even though it's low interest and stuff. But, it's a negative. But it did keep us afloat. I mean, we're losing right now with cutting back. We laid all the employees off except one maintenance guy. Everybody else was gone. All my family, we haven't taken a dime, not a penny out of the business since it closed in last March. All the employees gone. We had about a dozen employees. So everybody's been, you know, hammered from this. And what was your question, Toby?
Well, it was all about the stimulus. You had to lay everybody off, right? You weren't even able to keep
people. So we got some stuff. We got some stuff. But the problem is, even with doing all those things and, you know, reducing as much of the expense and overhead as possible, we're still in the neighborhood of 5 figures. I mean, not in the 8. We're over the 5-figure mark, you know, in loss, hard cash every month.
That's on a monthly basis. I want people to have that sink in for a second. This isn't, to continue your operation, you're talking about losing more than $10,000 a month.
It is well over 10.
Yeah, because he has a combination. You have the combination of a convenience store, gas station, restaurant, package depot. You have everything all wrapped up. You have all aspects and they've shut it all. So
sales in a month right now for an entire month equal about a day a year ago.
Yeah. Wow. 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 And then in the middle of it, of course, when it rains, it pours. We don't have to get into all this, but I know that they shut your water off. Like he has you're part of an association, and just because they could, they decided to flex some muscle on you. And it was off for what, a day or two before you were able to.
There's a few members of the association who are having some difficulty with the current board, and they've just made some decisions that have been incredibly unbelievable.
Yeah, it's just the joy of when of having to deal with cruddy human beings when bad things are going on. Sometimes they like to rear their heads and show just how bad our species can be. And I could say from firsthand experience, Lars got to deal with that full on brunt when somebody was being taken down. Let's just pile on. And I want to do the opposite. You know, the reason I wanted to give Lars an audience here is, A, I've known him forever. He used to teach folks, like he was one of the first people that was teaching on the stock market and how to get involved and handle your personal accounts back before it was in vogue. This was in the 90s.
That's right.
People had to actually take control of their own finances, was, you know, fairly independent, was independently wealthy, bought a town, you know, and does what a lot of Americans say is, you got out of California, I'm going to go live in Somerville, Idaho, bring your whole family. And then this happens. I can't even imagine what's going through your head when that's going on.
Well, you know, in 2016 is when we decided that we were going to move up here to the panhandle of Idaho. And we got here in 2017. And it's been just an incredible experience. There's no doubt we can literally look to miracles and see the hand, you know, of heaven in all that we've done. And look, God gives challenges. You know, if anybody's a believer, they know that. Read the scriptures or just look at people's lives. Your challenges will be different from mine, but they're going to be challenges unique to us. They're tailor-made, someone once told me, and that's so true. And look, I'm no better than anybody listed in scripture. God asked people to go do stuff, and their reward was death. You know, I mean, after a prophet testified and bore, you know, the gospel, they were stoned or something.
So if you
I'm not going to complain. I'm just saying what's happened is extremely severe, and whatever God wants, that's great for me and for so many other people up here. I'm just one person, but one family, but for so many other people along this border, it's been a devastation. I mean, literally, one day the light's on, and the next day it's off.
So I'm down here in Las Vegas, and we have our entire arts industry just turned on its head. I have a great producers, some awesome people, same scenario. Everything gets shut off for them. We have this huge stimulus that they're just dumping onto the economy. And we're seeing people's savings accounts have never been bigger. They're bigger than before the economy. And they're just going to give stimulus and give them more. Doesn't seem very targeted, does it?
You know, those people who are still able to work, if they're in a job that, you know, they didn't have a shutdown or, you know, have some type of negative impact, or maybe it was brief, more power to them. I'm grateful to those people that their situation is good and their savings accounts are grown, but our revenues are gone. And everything that, you know, between what I had in reserve my whole life and what we got from the government and loans and a little bit of grants, you know.
You have 10 family members up there. Like you have 10 kids plus you and your wife, you have your mother and you have some other relatives too, right?
My mother moved up here. My mother-in-law moved up here. I have four brothers and sisters and their families that moved up here. Yeah, it's been a wonderful experience that way. Absolutely.
Okay. I mean, I know you're not saying that tongue in cheek. It's great to have all your family there, but how does it feel for you? Like this whole situation, the emotional impact, how has it impacted you?
It's hard to see everything you've done your whole life kind of go up in smoke.
But you're still resolute, aren't you?
God is good. And yes, we are looking at every option and doing everything we can. There's no doubt, even now. And you've been a wonderful help. I mean, Anderson is, I can't even say enough about you and
plug
your
us.
Company. You know, but it's true. And I've said that when I taught people anything entrepreneurial, it was you need to get yourself structured. You need to get yourself organized. You need to have things prepared. Liability side, you know, and financial side, and you guys are the best. And I think that's probably why our friendship has been such a strong one over the few decades now that we've known each other, is that you just provide a wonderful thing. And I love teaching wonderful things, and it was just match made in heaven, I guess. But now with no income at all, you know, from our entire little town, 95% of your customers are on the other side of a border that no one can cross, except for truck drivers. It's amazing.
Somehow truck drivers don't convey the COVID.
Now, for full disclosure, there are a few businesses up in Creston that can come down and get their packages because there's whatever registered as a whatever it is, you know, that they can do that commerce. Mm-hmm. So there's the little 5%. And we have a few people in our community up in Port Hill, but you know, it's just a few families up there. I mean, we're in a very, very rural area, so that's not a lot of, you know.
It's interesting you say that. Like, what do you think Canada and the United States, like, if you could get Trudeau and President Biden together, what would you say?
I don't want to get too political on you.
Just about the opening of the border. Would you say, like, hey, let's use some common sense on this?
Well, COVID's real. My wife's uncle passed away just last month, you know, and I've had family members. It's real. But from my understanding, what I've looked at, there are so many more negative things happening with suicide rate and depression and people not getting checked, heart attacks, diabetes, all these things. We have to weigh both sides of this issue. And so Idaho is not like locked down like so many other places. Mm-hmm. And the eastern side of British Columbia, you know, western side, they've got Vancouver. They don't have a lot of activity with the virus. So my suggestion is, why not let folks come down and say they cross for a half an hour? You know, they can't even go to the closest city, which is only 2,500 people. You know, they can't even go that far. Then why can't they cross, get some groceries, get some gas, get their packages and go back? And as long as they're back within 30, 45 minutes, I don't see them adding an hour.
You have 1 hour to get back or you're going to be quarantined, right?
And, you know, if so, here's what Canada's serious about this. So we had some folks that got across early on. You know, we're talking last April or May, and I'm like, how'd you get across? Well, they don't stop at the Canadian. They stop at the U.S. port of entry to get in, right? And they were being a little more lenient, as it turned out. And I says, well, would you, when you go back, let me know what happens when you cross the Canadian point of entry, you know, and stuff. They were calling us up and going, they are fining us $1,000. They are requiring us to be in our house for 14 days, quarantine. One gentleman stopped at the store. He was told by the point of entry people, you have to go home and quarantine for 14 days and we'll check on you. And they do. So on the way home to his house in Creston, he stops at the store to get some food because he's going to be gone for 14 days. When he comes out of the grocery store, authorities are waiting at his car and find him $1,000 for not driving straight home. This is the, you know, but if you're a business and you have the proper paperwork, you can come down. And we've got a business up there that $150,000 a year he sends to us, and he comes and picks up for his business up there. And he's allowed to cross, but they told him you can't get personal packages. Like at Christmas time, his wife's ordering stuff on Amazon for the kids, shows up at our place. That or those packages are not allowed to come across. They're not a business. It doesn't make sense. So COVID can't be on the business package because COVID knows better because it's illegal. But package sitting right next to it on the shelf that's in his name personally can't come across.
Obviously, we could do better. Obviously, we could do better. We could be more targeted in how we help people. We could be focusing in on the people that are really suffering. One of the frustrations as a business owner was when this hit and we had the first waves of the pandemic and uninsurance or unemployment coverage, is we had people denying new jobs, saying no to being offered jobs because they made more on the unemployment. And, you know, we keep going back to that well, and they're not making a dent in the lower income unemployment. In fact, people over $60,000, unemployment's dropped. People under $27,000, employment's gone really high because, frankly, you're crazy to work. You make more.
It's true.
Yeah, you make more without it.
Our employees, we didn't have a need to call them back because there was no work. Okay? Mm-hmm. But they were making more being unemployed with the extra $600 a week that they were giving initially. Now it's $300, I think. They're looking at
$300 a week plus the extra state.
Yeah, extra, whatever their unemployment would have been. My employees, why would they want to come back when they're at home making hundreds?
Which is good. Thank God that there's that support for your employees. Otherwise, you'd probably have ulcers on ulcers because you'd have all these people that are suffering.
There would be a lot of hardship. I don't begrudge any of that. I said, I laid them off saying, make sure that you say it's because of COVID and the border closure because you're going to get this benefit. You know, I wanted them to receive that. Now, once things change and the border opens up, we'll bring back whoever we can and see what customers start to come down. There might be some that are still a little iffy at the beginning, but we'll see what happens. And we want to get back to work. Obviously, we want to do that.
So, Lars, you gave me a little video that I'll tack on to the end of this where it was somebody put together a really nice, it was like a
GoFundMe. Are you talking about? Oh, so let me just say something real quick about that. One of the blessings that have come from all this is we've met people that we would have probably never met before. And this new friend of ours, his name is Troy. wow, he's into marketing and all these things. And he heard about our plight. And he literally just showed up and said, I want to help you guys. And he says, I want to do some videos. I'm not going to tell you what I'm doing, but bring the family up. Okay, stand all together, point there, you know, wave here, give me a thumbs up at the counter. And like a week later, he comes back and he goes, look what I did. And he showed us this video. And we were just blown away. We have a GoFundMe, not because we did it. Another person in the community says, hey, Lars, we started this GoFundMe for you, you know, and wow, amazing. There's so many good people out there, Toby. You know this. Mm-hmm. But to see it happen for you and your family the way that it has, it's hard to cover 5 figures a month from donations. And it's just, you know, not possible. But they have kept us, you know, they have prolonged our business a little bit. We're here at the end. I mean, if something doesn't break soon, this is going to be it for us, a year.
Here's a simple request. I'm going to play that video. I'm going to actually not do it via my computer. I'm going to have it tacked on to the end of this so you guys can actually see it and get, so it doesn't look like it's being played on somebody else's screen. That's video being captured. I'll send it out there. But anything you guys can do to help Lars and his family, that would be very helpful. There's hundreds of businesses like Lars that are on the border that have been impacted like this. You saw it in that earlier video, all the way in Montana, all the way onto the East Coast. If you go to New York, I'm sure lots of places where they're being impacted up there. And they're kind of the lost ones in this whole thing. Because people don't understand that when you close down a border, we're always talking about our southern border. We're never talking about our northern border. But that northern border is really, really critical to all the businesses that are sitting right on the south side of that northern border, right? Like all on the U.S. side, do a lot of commerce with Canada. And that's just absolutely been turned off. 95% at a minimum. Lars, I don't think you're alone. And I know we have a lot of really cool people that will probably try to help. I'll put that up and then I'll give you guys a little update on what's going on with Lars and his family as we go on. I know they're going to pass some more stimulus. Hopefully there's something in there that we're able to take advantage of. Hopefully there's something there in Idaho where they're going to help the small businesses like yourselves, restaurant owners like yourselves, where you get shut down. I mean, you just seem to get a quadruple whammy on this one. Last question for you. Out of this whole pandemic, does it give you a positive view of people's humanity or a negative view of people's humanity after everything that's gone on?
Definitely positive. I mean, we've seen some negative. There's been a few of those. You alluded to one, you know, with our water situation. But over and above, the majority is, it's just been amazing to see what people have done. We have neighbors that came to us. They go, we raise pigs. We're going to donate a pig. Another guy's pitching in to donate, and we're going to have a pig picking at Jake's Landing in Port Hill and a fundraiser for you. And they're setting that up for next month. It's like, wow.
You guys don't know this. I remember during Christmas, you did like a Christmas village, right? You were still doing the Santa Claus and all that.
We had a whole Santa's village. Yeah. We bought all these lights the year before after Christmas, when you could buy, you know, Christmas lights for 80, 90% off. And, you know, we bought all this stuff and we get there this year and Idaho doesn't have quite the restrictions as other states do, but you know, we thought we got to use all these lights. So we put a special event together, called it Santa's Village, for 2 weekends before Christmas, and had people come up. We had people coming from an hour and a half away and said, thank you for doing this. I didn't think my kids would be able to sit on Santa's lap. I was Santa. I can tell you that was one of the most choice, wonderful experiences to welcome those kids and get the restaurant going. And the second weekend, on the last day, on that Saturday night, we ran out of our barbecued smoked ribs and stuff ahead of time. So many people, beyond our belief, you know, what we expected, showed up from our community. Sadly, they just can't make up for the thousands of people in Canada that will come down.
But still, they're there for you.
Like you said, it's the humanity that you see.
That's what's cool. Yeah, you had the little jerks in the water stuff, and that's a topic for another day, but you know, at the end of the day, even that stuff, you had a whole bunch of people show who they were and come together. And I always kind of look, that's when you figure out who your friends are. Everybody's your friend when you're on your way up. And you're getting kicked a little bit. That's when you figure out who the true friends are.
Well, that's life. You know, there's nothing special about us. We're going through life like everybody else. You have your ups, you have your downs. You know, you mentioned the stock market a couple of years back in 2018. God said, okay, you've had your time there. I want you to switch gears. And I didn't know, we hadn't bought Jake's Landing yet. Well, we changed it to Jake's Landing, you know, Jacob's son, and named it after my father, who passed away recently. We wanted to honor him. And God said, that part of your life is now in your past. And that was a hard, I got to tell you, that was hard for him to ask that of me, because I spent so much time and in the market, learned it back in the 90s, taught it in the 90s, taught it in the 2000s, everything. But God said, go this way. And this is a challenge.
You'd have
and
to
with God, all things are possible. So we're going to do it. I mean, whatever happens, we're going to persevere.
You have to visualize Lars clean shaven in a suit. That's the thing. Is right now, there's people that probably met you that are going like, who is this guy?
Well, I had a longer beard. See, when that was shot, that was at the end of November. And so another couple of weeks of growth for Santa's Village. And then I trimmed it way, way back here. But I live in North Idaho. So yep. Come on.
Yeah. If somebody ran across you that knew you 20 years ago, they go, who are you? And you'd be like, oh.
But you got a little going on there too, I see. I used to you being
clean. I'm just trying to hide the second chin. All right. So we're going to make sure that we get this out to everybody. Lars, you know I'm in your corner. And I know you're going to come out of this. And I always kind of look at it like life's the same thing. Money's not everything. These types of things are temporary. Pain is temporary. Quitting's forever. Don't quit. People will come in and help. We're there for you. And I just know that 3 years from now, we're going to be looking back, kind of laughing about this whole thing. Maybe not laughing, but having positive thoughts and saying, look what it created.
Smiling back on the tough times, though, we got through it, you know?
Yep.
That's it.
All right. Say hey to Wendy and the kids and we'll go from there.
You and Sandra are best always.
You got it.
Take care, my friend.
This is Lars. Lars and his wife have 10 kids. They bought a gas station, a restaurant, and a package depot right on the U.S. border with Canada. Business was great. Then the pandemic hit and the border closed. This is Troy. Troy and Lars are friends. Troy donated some of his stimulus money to Lars because he needed it more. This is you. You're visiting jakeslandingusa.com and donating just a slice of your stimulus money, or learning of other ways to help Lars and his family get through until the border opens again. You can help right now by liking and sharing this video. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. Show notes for links to everything mentioned in this episode can be found on our website at andersonadvisors.com/podcast. Be sure you subscribe to our podcast. And if you are already a subscriber, please provide us a review of what you thought of this episode.